The Greatest Day, the story of Kerry's 36 All-Ireland football titles. Brought to you in association with Kerry Group, proud sponsors of all inter-county GAA teams.
Episode 30 of The Greatest Day, the story of Kerry's 36 All-Ireland Senior Football Championship victories, recalls the 1986 season. During the previous two seasons, a supposedly aging Kingdom outfit had silenced their critics and secured the Sam Maguire. They saved the best for last, once more defying the odds as they produced one of the most sensational All-Ireland final comebacks. During the course of this programme, we'll reproduce extracts from the Kerryman newspaper. Gary O'Sullivan's will be the voice you hear each time.
Part 1.
The back-to-back All-Ireland champions returned in 1986 to attempt the most unlikely three in a row. The Kingdom had been written off following their last-minute defeats of 1982 and 1983. Victory in 1984, injury. Mick Spillane, though selected, failed to line out due to injury. Illness stopped Ambrose O'Donovan from taking part. John Kennedy, a used sub in the 1985 All-Ireland decider, reclaimed the number 10 jersey. John Higgins came in at corner back, and Stephen Stack was brought in at half back. Stack only discovered he would be playing in the hours leading up to the game.
I think it was in the hotel, so I'd say only found out maybe 2 hours before the game, so I didn't really have much time to prepare in my mind for it. But I think they were hoping against hope that Mick would be able to make it, but I think he might have had a late fitness test that morning and he didn't make it, so that was it really.
Kerry won 5-9 to 12 points against Tip, but the game did not start in such one-sided fashion. Tip were ahead by 2-1 just 6 minutes in. A move involving Jack O'Shea and Pat Spillane led to Owen Liston goaling.
The ball broke loose to Jack O'Shea and the burly midfielder made ground before slipping a pass to Pat Spillane, who eeled his way through the middle before passing to Liston on his right, and the Bale hitman uncorked a blistering shot which zoomed into the net.
Jack O'Shea pointed just before the quarter hour mark. 5 minutes later, the same player goaled from the penalty spot, driving home after a foul on Mikey Sheehy. Goal number 3 arrived little over a minute later.
Timmy O'Dowd it was who triggered it off as he laid the ball off to Liston on the right. Standing on his own, there was only the goalkeeper ahead of him and Toomey had to make a quick decision. He opted to come out and challenge the Kerry man, but the bomber rounded him with the poise of a dancer and then stabbed the ball goalwards with his left foot. It trickled ever so slowly over the goal line despite a despairing effort by one of the home backs to get to it.
The scoreline read Kerry 3-2, Tipperary 2 points. Game over. But the first half scoring was far from finished. 10 minutes from the short whistle, John Kennedy added a point for Kerry. A Ger Power goal followed within 60 seconds. Pat Spillane sent home goal number 5. It was these 5 goals which separated the sides at the break. 5-5 to 5 points. Kerry were outscored by 7-4 in the second period. One of those point scorers, Pat Spillane, spent the closing minutes of the encounter signing autographs.
That's right, yeah. That wasn't being denied anyway. Just being smart or just downgrading. It was a casual game. The game was nearly over, I suppose. And I remember actually signing autographs on the sideline because Clonmel was quite close and there was little set on the sideline as well. There were seats along the sideline. So I was, yeah, that's correct. Yeah, that's correct.
Willie Marr was a used sub that day against Tip, making his first championship appearance since breaking his leg on his debut against Cork in 1984.
Straight after that, you'd say, like, that's my chance gone now, like, you know. So, but, like, I had been in college and the Sigerson would have been a big help in 85, 86, getting back training. And, you know, in fairness to Mick O'Dwyer, he brought me back into the panel in the National League 85 and brought me along to all the games. And, you know, I started then. I played my first game back for Kerry, I think it was against Kildare in February 86. So, you know, I was...
Timmy Dowd was named on the 40 in place of Ogie Moran. O'Donovan's impact on proceedings was evident within 4 minutes.
It's Jimmy Kerrigan who plays the ball outside here. Colm O'Neill making his way inside and there's a chance here.
The Cork players are even complaining. The ball has gone over the line. The Cork forward then hit a shot, a bullet of a shot across the face of the goal as far as I can see from here. It hit the post across the from Charlie Nelligan, rebounded back out. Dort was saved at the line and it was Ambrose Donovan, you're right, that came out and got that ball when you imagined it was gone over the line clear. One of the most luckiest escapes I've seen for a long time.
Kerry's John Kennedy had the first two scores of the day, points in the 9th and 10th minutes. 12 minutes in, the Kerry goal was again in danger of falling.
John Kearns out to the middle of the field. Ambrose O'Donovan trying to get finish, picked up here by Teddy McCarthy. He drop kicks it inside to the Kerry square, in around the square, roughly anyway. Mick Spillane is on a run with John O'Driscoll. A high ball, battling for possession. There's a chance here for Dog. Great save by Charlie Nelligan. Absolutely from nowhere.
Ah, that was a superb save by Charlie Nelligan. A big high ball from Driscoll came in. It was punched. Charlie Nelligan just got down to his left. There was quick reactions there, Gary. He's saved an absolutely certain goal there, a bullet of a shot, and he just got down to his left and saved the ball, put it out for 45. Great save.
Dave Barry pointed the subsequent 45, Cork's first score. After Ger Power's goal-bound effort was saved, Dave Barry made it 2 points all with the free in the 19th minute. A low-scoring encounter, but the efforts of the Kerry halfbacks could not be faulted. Tom Spillane and Ger Lynch were singled out for their many telling possessions and subsequent distributions, the pair providing the springboard for attack whilst also keeping Cork at bay. Cork managed just the 2 points in that opening period. Kerry went back in front 3 minutes after Cork had equalised, and they kicked on from that.
Tommy Doyle outside to Ger Lynch. Ger Lynch to John Kennedy. John Kennedy launching another high one. This is sailing all the way home. What a kick from John Kennedy.
Oh, John Kennedy's superb form by the Ashdy man. Yeah, what a wonderful kicker he is. From way, way out the field, kicking into the dressing room goal here in Croke Park. And he took that pass and turned around with his right leg. He's a beautiful style for kicking the ball. Landed the ball straight and through over the bar. That must have been about 65, 70 yards out.
3-2, John Kennedy getting the lead there for Kerry, and Pat Spillane nips in once again, and Pat Spillane plays it outside here again to John Kennedy. John Kennedy now springs around to Jacko. Jacko on the 40, drives it high. This is equally looking just as good, and that's a cracking kick from Jack O'Shea.
Well, if we think Kennedy's point was good, Jack O'Shea's point was equally good, because he was outside the 45 metre line. Dennis Carlin, one of the Cox selectors, jumped up in the dugout that time. He shouted something to the defenders, but it was too late because Jacko's kick had landed right on top of the net. Wonderful point.
Just on the 45, and Mikey Sheehy to take this one. Be confident enough for this, and this is looking good. Cracking kick again from Mikey Sheehy.
Oh, you could stay watching that man kicking points and kicking frees all day long. On 45, just on the 45 metre line, he has this unique style of just curling the ball, swinging the ball straight and through over the bar. Wonderful day for football. Lovely point by the Austin Staxman.
Kerry had 6 points in total in the closing 15 minutes of the first half. As well as the three just heard, Kennedy and Sheehy had further points, with Timmy Dowd also on target. Kerry led 8-2 at half-time. Cork ate into Kerry's advantage right from the start of the second period.
Cork that win the throw-in, and the long ball driven inside again. And it looks to be as if it is Dave Barry, I think, who's got the first break. And Dave Barry, we see after only 12 seconds with a point for Cork.
Yeah, that was a great kick by Dave Barry there. The ball was thrown in the mountains and the lake shimmering in the background here. A perfect year for football. The ball went down to Barry, and after just 12 seconds from way out the field, landed the ball over the Kerry bar. Wonderful point by Dave Barry. Great kicking.
Exactly on centre field. Niall Cahalan drives it in high. Well judged inside by Pat Spillane, but it's Colm O'Neill who nips in. Colm O'Neill with the wind to his back, and Colm O'Neill is swung over another one. 2 points inside the opening minute.
Oh, great point by O'Neill there. What a lovely kicker at the ball he is. And it was Niall Cahalan's kick who came in. O'Neill came out from in front of the dressing rooms, came out outside the 21 metre line, and with the left leg, he swung the ball straight and through over the bar. A lovely point by him. Wonderful point by O'Neill.
6 minutes into the half, Ambrose O'Donovan placed Jack O'Shea to kick Kerry 5 in front at 9-4. Kerry were finding scores hard to come by. Points in the 13th and 17th cut the deficit to 3. Kerry 9, Cork 6. 15 minutes from time, team captain Tommy Doyle had what was only Kerry's second point of the period.
It's Kerry that lead by 3 points here, and can they respond again? Great catch again by Tom Spillane in the middle of the field. Tom plays it down here, and Kerry attacking man, and that's Tommy Doyle. Tommy Doyle really, really got in dangerously into the forward line, and Tommy Doyle has scored a fantastic point for Kerry, badly needed.
Again, Cork hit back, reducing the gap to 3 once more on 23 minutes. 5 minutes passed before the next score, which arrived from Mikey Sheehy. 3 minutes from time, Sheehy made the game safe.
Power with the ball over on the far side. Ger Power inside for Willie Maher. Wins the first ball inside, giving it to him. Still Willie Maher plays it again outside to the Bomber. The Bomber back to Willie Maher. He's a very good substitute to bring in. Willie Maher plays it outside to Mikey Sheehy with the cheekiest little chip. That's a great score for Mikey Sheehy.
Oh, lovely score. It was Willie Maher made it. We were talking about him, and the Bomber was also involved. But Mikey Sheehy, what can't this man do? Because he got the ball. He was at a very difficult angle, and there was three backs coming out on top. He just gave a little shimmy and gave a little shuffle, and with an easy, graceful, beautiful style, he just floated the bar over the bar. The crowds are beginning to leave now. Mikey Sheehy, what a genius.
The Kerryman newspaper report offered up that this was John Kennedy's best ever game for Kerry. It's an assessment Kennedy agrees with.
The most consistent display I had, and I kicked 4 very good long range points. You know, as a kicker, when you're kicking from long range, some days they'll go over, other days they won't. That day they did, and I was particularly happy. And, you know, I think there was an incentive there for me to get my place back after losing out in 85.
Just one change for Kerry for the semi-final, Ogie Moran came into the half-forward line, replacing Timmy Dowd. Ogie Moran had Kerry in front early on. Cullum O'Rourke's long-range effort cancelled that out. By the 10th minute, Meath were two in front through two frees from distance by Liam Hayes. The Bomber levelled after a quarter of an hour. Bernard Flynn restored Meath's two-point advantage. Approaching the 18th minute, an opportunist strike put the Kingdom ahead.
This is a chance now. Ambrose O'Donovan drives it inside here now, and it doesn't look to be a Kerry player over in that side of the field. I wonder why Ambrose passed it in there. Padraig Lyons has gathered it. Padraig Lyons into the middle of the field now, and again a good tackle got in by Owen Liston, and Ogie Morton nips in twice. Ogie Morton with a high ball inside Ger Power, and he's been totally overcome by three players, but they've all missed it, and Power has an empty goal, and it's a goal for the Kingdom. Ger Power, what a mix up in the Meath defence.
Amazing goal by Kerry, a wonderful goal by Ger Power in his own way, and it was Ogie Morton who he sent a long high probing ball into the Meath defence. Remember, Meath are defending the railway goal in Croke Park. Two defenders and the goalkeeper went for the ball. That was 3-1. The ball broke out, there was three men on the ground. Ger Power was all in his own, and he just turned around and just gently placed the ball into the back of the net. It's 1-2 to 4 points.
Ger Power had an inkling of what was coming as that ball landed towards the Meath square.
Ogie kicked in the pass me into his foul up in there and hopped way up in there, and I just ducked my head, and your man, the goalie came out, and you, because I was never going to win the ball, and you, because he was up in there. So Mick Lyons or something like that just jumped in with him, the two of them clashed, and the ball fell, and all of my Ionio and Joe Castles, Mick Lyons, and the goalie were all stretching the ground.
Power's goal meant Kerry were leading 1-2 to 4 points. Play was held up in order for the Meath players to be treated. The subsequent injury time at the end of the half would prove costly for Meath. There was no score again until just before the half hour mark. Bernard Flynn pointing to make it all square, 1-2 to 5 points. Two quick Meath points by Flynn and Martin O'Connell had them two in front once more. Kerry trailed 7-1-2, entering the final minute of the half. The aforementioned 3 minutes plus of injury time was to the Kingdom's benefit.
Tom Spillane takes the free in the half-back line for Kerry, drives it long inside, up goes a whole cluster of players, and again it's Mikey Sheehy who brings it down. He's fouled by Jerry McEntee. He's going to be free in, and Jack O'Shea takes the quick free. Meath weren't expecting that. Kerry were. Jack O to Ambrose. Ambrose has made the run. Ambrose now plays the ball back to the Bomber. The Bomber now looking good. This is curling. This will be a magnificent point if it goes over from here. That's some kick, Rishi, from Owen Liston.
Oh, that's a superb kick from Owen Liston. Jack O'Shea took the quick free, went up to Ambrose. Ambrose was under hill 16. Huge crowd looking down at him. He passed the ball out to Bomber. And Bomber was at a fierce, awkward angle. He was just inside the sideline. He was on the 21 metre line. And he turned around. Who says this man can't score points from awkward positions? And the left leg floated the ball over the bar. An absolutely superb point.
Kerry just trailed by one now, and they're coming back nicely into this. And Ger Lynch again nipping in nicely. Willie Maher now outside to Pat Spillane. Pat Spillane was going to shoot from here. He decided to play it across, which was better. Again, the old heads are moving wisely. They mightn't have the speed in the legs, but the heads are moving well. Power to Sheehy. Back to Power again. Out on his left is Tommy Doyle. Tommy Doyle with the left leg, and that's another cracking point. And we're level again in Croke Park.
That's a superb point, a wonderful point by Kerry. They held the ball, they passed it around. Mickey Sheehy, Ger Power went out to Tommy Doyle. They just passed it and held it and held it and passed it. That's experience. You can't buy that, you can't train that, you can't coach that. You have to get it. That's experience. And Tommy Doyle was at the end of it and popped the ball over the bar there. Lovely point. 1-4 to 7 points. They're level.
Mick Spillane, and Mick clears it down again the throat of Jerry McEntee. Jerry McEntee clears it. The midfield is slipping back into the half back line. Back there too is Pat Spillane, and Pat Spillane, and coming out of there is Sean Walsh. And Sean Walsh has had the upper hand of Martin O'Connell inside at full back so far, and Tom Spillane gives it to Jacko, and Jacko plays it long now into space again. Right battle between Owen Liston, Weishi, and Mick Lyons all day inside.
Yeah, that's some battle. The two giants, two big men, two men who won't stand back, two men who don't take prisoners. And Mickey McQuillan in goal, he's a big red nose because he's bleeding after that collision with his two backs when Ger Power scored the goal. There's no such thing as going off and getting that looked after. You play on. This is going to be free in for Kerry.
It's a free to Mikey Sheehy, and they're level pegging here so far. It's 1-4 to 7 points. Sheehy's often swung it over here from this angle. Can he do it this time? Connects well with the ball. Mikey Sheehy makes no mistake. That's a great point for the Austin Stacks man.
Oh, fabulous point. What a kicker he is. If he was to get a penny for every point he ever scored for Kerry, he'd be a millionaire. It's 1-5 to 7 points, and Kerry leading by that 1 point.
So the blooded nose of Mickey McQuillan, but he drives the ball out again into the middle of the field, and possession is vital, and is gathered over there by Tommy Doyle. And Tommy Doyle, Kerry might be bringing in a substitute over on the far side. There's a couple of them getting ready, but it's going to be free right on midfield as Mick O'Dwyer attire with the green top, and he's got the same top colour as what Meath have. But this ball is driven in long side again for Willie Maher. Willie Maher on the burst is Mikey Sheehy with a lovely little left footed pick this time. Left or right, Meath makes no difference.
No difference at all. And Willie Maher fell up there to the Milltown Castle Mayman, got the ball, held it, had a chance, but he saw Mikey Sheehy coming. And Mikey Sheehy with that beautiful style again. How often have we seen him doing it? What can you say about this man? And with the left leg, pop the ball over the bar.
Come half time, Kerry led 1-6 to 7 points. 3 minutes after the restart, a Pat Spillane point put 3 between the sides. Jack O'Shea made that a 4-point gap with a superb long-range effort. Meade's first point of the second half arrived in the 12th minute, a free from Flynn. Sub Willie Maher pointed for Kerry, 1-9 to 8 points in the Kingdom's favour. A Pat Spillane point a minute after the quarter hour put 5 between the sides. The gap was 3 following 2 Meath points, courtesy of O'Rourke and Murta, after 20 and 21 minutes. Within 2 minutes, the Meath dream would be crushed.
And it's Colm O'Rourke that drives it in, but once again, Nick Spillane, great positional since by Spillane. Jacko breaks it out in the middle of the field, and it's gathered here now again by Willie Maher. Willie Maher now, the pressure is off, carrying this Owen Liston, who's found himself in space ahead of Mick Lyons and Owen Liston with the easiest of scores that you'll ever get in an All-Ireland semi-final.
Yeah, it was great by Willie Maher, the long ball from Colm O'Rourke went in, it was steered out. O'Rourke has gone out midfield now for Meath, and Willie Maher got that ball, turned around, left it into Bomber. Bomber's man went out in front of him, Lyons went out, he slipped in the side here and he left the Bomber all on his own. He was at a bit of an angle, a little bit out from the goal, popped the ball over the bar, won 11 to 10 points.
And it's going to be Tommy Doyle to take this free. Tommy Doyle in the right half back position, looking up to see what his options are. He'll drive it high into the middle of the field. It's broken inside, and again Ogie Morton nips it nicely, but nearly took the head off Ogie. Pat Spillane, Pat will chip it forward, Jacko knocks it down, Willie Maher is there to finish it. That's a clinical goal from Willie Maher, and that's Kerry into another All-Ireland final.
That's an absolutely superb, wonderful goal by Kerry, and once again there was a big link up by the players. The ball went into Bomber Liston, and I said while ago he must have eyes in the back of his head. Pat Spillane just literally popped the ball into him. Liston saw Willie Maher running off and gave the ball to Maher, rounded his man, and he hit a rocket of a shot with his right leg. It hit the stanchion behind the back of the goal and is rebounded back out. A lot of people underneath us thought it was after hitting the post. It hit the stanchion, came back out.
The scoreline read Kerry 2-11, Meath 10 points after 23 minutes of the second half. The Kingdom were on their way to another All-Ireland final. The side shared 4 points in the closing minutes. Mikey Sheehy responsible for both of Kerry's.
The greatest day. The story of Kerry's 36 All-Ireland football titles. Brought to you in association with Kerry Group. Proud sponsors of all inter-county GAA teams. Part 2.
The Kingdom overcame Meath 2-13 to 12 points. Kerry newcomer Stephen Stack felt that display against Meath was an eye-opener for the Kingdom's critics.
A lot of people that year, actually, my memory is that they were writing Kerry off because Meath were the coming team in Leinster. Tyrone had been very good in Ulster, and I think everyone kind of thought that Kerry were gone and that they were really on their last legs. But the game for Meath that really proved, you know, how hungry they were for it was the Meath game, because they really came out of the blocks like greyhounds that day, and they absolutely blew Meath away, and they made a huge statement in terms of their desire and their continued desire to kind of keep winning and keep being successful, you know.
The display was also a standout one for Ambrose O'Donovan.
I think that was a very good performance by Kerry. That was a good Meath team to come with. I mean, they had very good footballers. Again, they had experience and they had youth. I mean, you look at Dave Beggy and Martin O'Connor, Brian Stafford, but after that they knew you had Jerry McEntee and the Lines, and you had Colm O'Rourke. That was a good Meath team. Good Meath team. Kerry played well. I didn't have a good game in the semi final. No, I struggled in 86. I don't know what it was, injuries and whatnot. And I you know, I felt that I was never at 100% like I was in 84 or had been in 85. I struggled in 86 with fitness. And I got all injuries. You know, I got injured in club games, and you know, my training was disrupted. But when the All Tides put it together again that day, Bomber and the boys, I tell you, there was only going to be one result. That was a Kerry victory.
Sean Walsh believes Kerry caught Meath at the right time.
That Meath team were just emerging, and I think we were lucky that we met them when possibly we were on the way down, and they were just starting to come up, because a few years after they proved to be a great team. So I think we just met them at the right time.
Kerry's All-Ireland final opponents were Tyrone. They had defeated Galway in the other semi-final, 1-12 to 1-9. Willie Maher's substitute performance in the semi-final saw him selected against Tyrone in place of John Kennedy. Kennedy recalls being told of his omission.
We got a call from one of the selectors on that particular time. I think the late Joe Cahan gave me a call to say that I wasn't starting, which was disappointing, but you're always looking to put out the best 15. I was hoping I'd get a run in the final. That didn't materialise also, which was more disappointing. Having played probably some great football in Munster, it was disappointing not to get on, but you know, at the end of the day, the county and the team is bigger than any individual.
Kennedy had been taken off early against Meath.
I was pulled ashore pretty quickly on that day, maybe about 15 minutes I was pulled ashore. I suppose it showed the strength again on the bench, and I went for a few balls. I was marking Terry Ferguson, misjudged him, and I suppose I was in front of the Kerry bench, and I got called ashore, and Willie came on, and I think he ended up with 1-1 that day, finished a great goal, and Willie had made a good comeback after breaking a leg, and he certainly was a fantastic footballer also, and a very underrated player as well. He was in pole position, but I'd have to say I was probably disappointed I didn't get started in the All-Ireland final, because you know I'd been playing particularly well in training, and I remember it maybe 2 weeks before I marked Joe Lynch in what was called the final trial, and I had put up a big score, and was kind of hinted that I would be starting and didn't, and you know, disappointed that I didn't start, obviously.
Most of the Kerry dressing room had prior experience of All-Ireland final day. Stephen Stack did not, and he was in for a dressing room shock.
I went into the Kerry dressing room and Paddy Shea was inside. And he, you know, you'd hear about players and the older squad having been full of pishogues, as Paddy would say himself. And I remember him togging off, and you know, you're being off these legends of the game. They should be sitting down besides, and you're only a young little pup, like. But he took off his pants, and he had his Kerry socks on, and he had brown shoes. He had his suit, his shirt, and his tie. And I think he put his togs on at that stage, didn't I? I couldn't quite figure that out. But apparently, he told me since that he kind of had a way of togging off. But I thought that was pretty unique. And he did that on many occasions afterwards. And well, it worked for him anyway, because he didn't have too many bad games.
Kerry captain Tommy Doyle was honoured to lead the team out for the All-Ireland final. However, he feels that even getting to that year's final was an achievement in itself.
I remember we had a lot more to worry about than actually getting to the final, because... I think I was in bad shape that year. I had very bad Achilles tendon. I had to get them injected. I was in a plaster, I think, the week before the final. And the pride of coming out with the team and leading them on the pitch at the time was fantastic. You know, brilliant. You just think back at the legends that went before you. That's all you got to do. You know, back to the John Dowlings and these people. And you know, you just think back to those people and what you've achieved, what they achieved, and you're following in their footsteps. Mm-hmm. And the traditions that are in Kerry, and I think that's why we are what we are today in Gaelic football. We have the most traditions. We stick by them. We play the game in the traditional way that it should be played. We can adapt our style and change like we did in the 70s and the 80s. We didn't play too much of the football that the Tyrones came on with this in the last couple of years, which I'm delighted we didn't do.
The first half was barely a minute old when the tone was set for one of the most remarkable All-Ireland finals of all time.
Pat Spillane wins the ball back there and plays it back to Tommy Doyle, and Tommy up here in front of the Hogan stand to Jacko. Jacko takes one hop and drives it long inside. There was a push in the back from the Tyrone man there. Surely Mikey Sheehy got away with it. Jarponi again, she has it again, and the ball has gone inside to Ambrose Delavan, and it's a penalty. I think it looked as if no, he's got the chance and it's cleared off the line, but he was tripped at Sewishi. Is it a penalty?
Yeah, that should be a penalty, because Mikishi, he got the ball, passed the ball into Ambrose O'Donnell, and he was inside in the big square. He was just going to shoot for the goal when the goalkeeper came out. He definitely tripped him. Mikishi, he with a beautiful pass into Ambrose O'Donnell, and the Guinea Gwynne man rounded the goalkeeper, and just when he was going around him, the goalkeeper literally put out his leg and cut him down. Ambrose took the shot, the ball went wide, but this is definitely going to be a penalty, yes indeed.
And it looks as if it's going to be Jack O'Shea who's going to take this penalty. It is. Well, he scored a penalty last year against Dublin. He's up against Aidan Skelton, and it's Jack O'Shea to take this one out. You'd expect to bury it, there'll be plenty of power. Here's the kick, and he's missed it. It's hit the crossbar, and it's a relief for Tyrone. We see a bad miss from Jacko.
Yes indeed, but he hit an absolutely rocket of a shot, and as the fella said, the crossbar got in the way. It hit the crossbar and rebounded halfway out the field. A bullet of a shot, but he'd be disappointed with that.
Jack O'Shea says he was lucky to be on the pitch at all.
I was very fortunate to play, actually. I had the flu all week. I had a very high temperature before the match and I wasn't feeling the best, but anyhow, we got confronted with a penalty in the first 2 minutes. I think Ambrose got fouled. I had no strategy really taking the penalty. I just put down the ball and hit it hard, made sure it was in target, and you know, if the goalie saved it, great, but this time the goalie went the wrong way, but the crossbar saved him. So I remember it, yeah, the occasion, and the ball, I think, ended up nearly out near the corner flag. I hit it so hard.
Despite that penalty missed by O'Shea, Kerry stayed on top, dominating the opening 10 minutes.
Up goes the bomber to Spillane. He was going to pass it, he could shoot this one. He does, with the outside of the right boot, and Spillane stamps his man. final.
Yeah, Pat Spillane as usual roaming all over the field from one end to the other, ran on to take that little punch down pass from Bomber Liston. What great understanding they have, great telepathy there by both of them. Passed it down and Spillane went right through, and when he's getting run like that in goal, when Spillane starts running and the blonde hair waving in the wind, popped it over the bar.
Skelton again and again, Jacko, is it Pat Spillane in actual fact? Spillane being very, very industrious in the open few minutes. Ger Power has been tripped over there, and Ger was tripped as he went for that one, and there's no doubt that this is going to be free, and it's probably his fellow Stacks man Mikey Sheehy who's going to be called over to take this one. Yes, Mikey Sheehy with the left knee very heavily bandaged again. I don't think that'll make a whole pile of difference. He'll kick with the right, and Mikey makes no mistake, 3 points to nil now, Isha to carry.
Yeah, Mikey Sheehy again, once again, how often he's done it in the past, we've been watching him. Now as Kerry's gone for this three in a row away out the field, just in front of the Cusicks, the pack Cusicks then, and with his right leg just floated the ball beautifully over the bar.
3 points between the 14th and 17th minutes drew Tyrone level. Mickey Mallon had two of those, Sean McNally the other. 19 minutes in, Kerry were back in front through Owen Liston. Sean McNally equalised once more. Tyrone then took over, and from the 26th to the 30th minutes had points through Mickey Mallon, Damien O'Hagan and Mallon again. Tyrone were leading 7-4. Kerry had managed just one score since the 10th minute. The Kingdom set out to rectify that.
And the free is taken by Jack O'Shea high into the Tyrone square, and Owen Liston tried to make the most of it there. So to Ambrose O'Donovan tried to get it back, but it's Kerry that have it back in the middle of the field. Well, slightly. Tom Spillane, the referee, even got to the way in this time, and Sean McNally nips in. Hodge Quinn involved there as well. Now it's Plunkett Donoghue who has the ball in the middle of the field. Willie Maher trying to get the block in, unsuccessful this time. Great catch back there by Jack O'Shea. He had it, he lost. He had it again and he lost it again, and it's got a little bit scrappy back there now, Ishii, but the Kerry back's doing well.
Yeah, but Jack O'Shea falling back in front of his own full back, went up for that ball there, fielded it, but just dropped it. Eventually Kerry breaking away, and the Kerry at the moment seem to be a little bit control at the moment.
And here's Ogie Morden fighting off two players. John Lynch was one into Ger Power, he's going straight through, but the referee has said half time, Ishii, and Ger Power is disgusted with that.
No wonder he would, because he was gone right through. He had a very simple point to pop it over the bar there, and the referee from Cork Jimmy Dinigan blew the halftime whistle. Really, that was bad refereeing there. He shouldn't have to play. Go on.
It remains 7-4 to Tyrone at halftime. At halftime, Timmy Dowd was introduced for Ambrose O'Donovan. An ankle injury sustained in that second minute penalty incident put paid to O'Donovan's participation.
A lot of people thought, you know, that I ran it off, but I didn't. My ankle at halftime was badly swollen, actually. You know, and there was no way I would have done the second half of that game. And I suppose it worked out. It was just as well, because, you know, we were dead and buried at halftime. And there was worry in the Kerry dressing room at halftime. In fairness, Timmy Dowd came and had a great game. But I mean, it was against Spillane. The old heads had to come to the fruition. And Tyrone, I believe that Tyrone would have won that All-Ireland had Kevin McCabe scored a penalty. Tyrone played very good football that day, like, and they had a very good team. They were, you know, you Plunkett Donoghue, the McClures, you had Eugene McKinney, who was a very, very good footballer. Eugene was a great 40 yardsman. Kevin McCabe himself was a very good footballer. You know, they had a good team. They had a very good side, but I think it was a great credit to Kerry. They called on all their experience that day.
Sub O'Dowd recalls a stirring half-time team talk from Mick O'Dwyer.
We thought we were beaten at half-time. Mico worked the magic at half-time. I remember Mico saying at half-time, he says, "No, lads," he says, "there's 31 and a half counties against you here." And the lads just rose up and we got on with them. We went out in the second half and we played exceptionally well in the second half.
Kerry had barely settled down for the second half when Tyrone came at them.
Kevin McCaig takes it quickly. McCaig till Plunkett Donoghue. Plunkett Donoghue drives it inside here now, and here's a chance, and it's broken loose, and it's inside to Podge Quinn. Oh, Podge Quinn has buried it into the back of Nilligan's net. That's some start to the second half for Tyrone.
Oh, great start for Tyrone. That's the start of the Northern's lead. And Podge Quinn was at the end of that lovely move, and Charlie Nilligan came out, and Quinn just rolled it along the ground, right in along the ground, past Nilligan. It was an absolutely pinpointed pass by the full forward into Quinn, and Quinn just took his time. Charlie Nilligan came out, but he rolled it. He finished it absolutely beautifully.
Worse was to come for Kerry, as Tyrone were awarded a contentious penalty after 3 minutes of the second half.
Eugene McKenna was the man that barged his way into both Ger Lynch and Charlie Nilligan and Mick Spillane back there, and it looks as if it's going to be Kevin McCabe who's coming up from wing back. He's the man that's going to take it. Jacko missed a penalty in this goal in the first half. How's this guy going to get on with the goal in the second half?
If Tyrone scored this, Gary, I'm afraid there'll be no comeback for Kerry. This is a huge kick for the Tyrone men.
There'll be no three in a row if he lands this one. Kevin McCabe in a very critical in the early stage of the second half against Nilligan, hits it high and it's gone over the bar. Did he intentionally do it or not? But anyway, it's a point for Tyrone.
Oh, that was a bad miss by McCabe. came there, because he came up really, he didn't do it intentionally, I'd say, but he just, the nerves got him, and he just got his leg under the ball and rose it completely and straight through over the bar. That was a bad miss by him.
McCabe said afterwards that he did go for goal, but the ball screwed off his foot. Sweet words to the ears of Kerry goalkeeper Charlie Nelligan.
Tyrone were very unlucky that year. McCabe was he had taken one in the semi-final. When he was taking the penalty, he had intended to kick it to my right hand side, but I'd say he changed his mind, because he was probably thinking that I was thinking. And when he kicked it, I kind of committed myself to go out of the way, which I thought he was going to kick it, and he didn't. He kicked it the other one, he kicked it over the bar. But one thing about that as well, amazing about that side of the pitch in Croke Park at that stage at that time, a lot of players, bar Jimmy Keaveney, who were taking penalties, they drove him high and over the bar. You know, it was amazing. There was a little hump in the 14-yard line. It's only a small thing, but it's a thing that goalkeepers remember. But thanks be to God, he kicked it over the bar. It was a lovely point.
The greatest day. The story of Kerry's 36 All-Ireland football titles. Brought to you in association with Kerry Group. Proud sponsors of all inter-county GAA teams. Part 3.
It looked as if the young guns from the north had too much for the ageing legs of the kingdom. It was 1-8 to 4 points at this stage, and Tyrone were the ones playing like champions. Tom Spillane feels Kerry's previous experience of All-Ireland finals stood to them in that second half.
I think we were probably very fortunate against Tyrone in the final. We didn't play well at the start, but then fellas took the game by the scruff of the neck, and the second half, you know, goals came in. I think Pat had a particularly good game that day. But every fella had to, I suppose, pull the finger out, and we were down 7 points, and you know, we got out of jail, really. I think that I think maybe playing Kerry in All Ireland final, they probably hadn't the confidence probably to follow through on it. Whereas you can see the fellas today, they've no fear of anyone. The entire own team that are there today, whereas at the time Northern football was coming up, you know, the fellas today have no fear. Whereas I think maybe they had maybe a little bit respect for the jersey, maybe, and when Kerry came at him, then they didn't have an answer for it.
Kerry needed someone to step up to the mark, and quick.
Pat Spillane going through, and Pat Spillane responds as only Spillane can do. Kerry barely needed that one, we see.
Yeah, that was a great response by Pat Spillane. I remember back here in 1953, the very same goal Armagh got a penalty against Kerry in that Jubilee final, the very same goal where Tyrone have just missed it, and they blazed the ball wide. Can history be repeated? Can Kerry come back? Because Pat Spillane certainly has set them on their way back with that lovely point.
Timmy Dowd goes high, so does Plunkett Donaghy. It's Timmy Dowd, the substitute, that's introduced into the second half by Kerry. Inside, the ball has gone here, there and everywhere. What can Kerry do? Can they get Timmy Dowd? Has it back again. Fair play to the man. He's done it well. Inside now to Char Power. Char Power's going to pass it to the outside. Char Power passed to Pat Spillane. Oh, what a finish by Spillane. He threw himself on the ball and Kerry are back in business.
Timmy Dowd, Char Power and Pat Spillane. What an amazing goal by Pat Spillane. Timmy Dowd into Char Power. Char Power set it up and he kicked the ball across the face of the goal. What did Pat Spillane do? He literally threw himself in the air, because when that ball came across, he didn't have time to catch it, threw himself in the air and just panned the ball while he was in full flight into the corner of the net. I have never ever seen a goal scored like that before. Cracking goal. It's 1-5 to 1-8. Carry it back into this game.
Pat Spillane puts his goal down to pure instinct.
Is there any one particular thing of your my All-Ireland say? And I mean, the goal against Tyrone was the thing. And why? Because it was because I did something that I never did in a game in my life before. And it's because I did something that I never did in a game afterwards. And you say, well, I dived and pammed the ball the opposite way to where I was diving. Why did I do it? Do you know, you say, I have no idea. This just, do you know, like, I think it's like Mikey Sheehy's chip goal and thing. It's just instinct that you did something, which just instinct that came to you. Instinct, inspiration. I don't know, divine intervention. I don't know, you did it, and it was just, I mean, look, like I said, 86 team, we weren't as good as previous.
Kerry were back in it. 8 minutes into the second half, it was now a 3-point game. Tyrone 1-8 to Kerry's 1-5. Within 2 minutes, Mickey McClure had Tyrone back in front by 4. They would score just once more in the game, however. Mikey Sheehy then pointed for Kerry. Just 10 minutes into an eventful second half, the score read Tyrone 1-9, Kerry 1-6. By the 13th minute, Kerry fully wiped out the 7-point deficit from just 10 minutes earlier.
This is safe. safe enough, and this will be driven into Charlie Nelligan, and Charlie doesn't take a hopper and solo. He drives it out to his left, and the ball should be around the middle of the field again, but it's Plunkett Donoghue who easily gets it. But Ger Powers, after easily dispossessing him, illegally or illegally, and
he fouled Donoghue there. He fouled him there, Gary.
He looks as if he fouled him. All right, Powers going to slap into the mouth for his spin, back side to Mike Ishii, pinpoint pass, oh, pinpoint goal! What a catch and what a goal from Mike Ishii!
What a goal by Mike Ishii, the maestro. He scored a lot of goals in Croke Park, but this one would equal any one of them. But out the field, there'd be consternation over this, because in my view, Ger Powers fouled his men there. The referee waved the play on, and Ger Powers turned around. He left a beautiful ball into Mike Ishii, who floated in behind the defence, and Mickey got the ball. He had one look, took two steps, skeleton came out, and he just placed the ball. If you saw Jock Best doing that over Old Trafford, you'd put another £1 million onto his transfer. Beautiful goal by Mickey Sheehy. Wonderful goal by Sheehy.
Charlie Nelligan remembers the goal well and the impact it would have on Tyrone.
I gave an old ball inside and I ballooned it out the field, and Jock Powell gave a bit of a nudge. He drove it into Mikey, and the three kick strike, it was in the back of the net, and that heads went down then. You know, it was like ourselves in 82 when the goal came. We had about 4 minutes to go after that again, but you know, when that happens, the head goes down, and you know, when you're kicking out a ball after a goal going in like that, you're looking around to see who wants the ball, and nobody wants it, you know. And it was the same with Tyrone that day.
Tyrone fans were shell-shocked. Kerry fans too, but for an entirely happier reason. The sides were now level, 2-6 to 1-9. Could Kerry push on and maintain the momentum, or would Tyrone respond as they had done when coming from behind in the first half? Experience was to win out over youth and exuberance as the kingdom dismantled Tyrone. 6 points in an 8 minute spell from the 52nd minute ensured there would be no northern fairy tale.
Jack O'Spillane is in sight, you know, once again getting the break. Is this the lead for Kerry? Whoever thought it a while ago that it would be, and it is. Pat Spillane getting the score.
Yes, indeed, an absolutely marvellous comeback by Kerry. You can never keep a Kerry team down. When they're down, they're at their best. And Pespillan took that breaking ball, kicking into the railway goal, and he turned around with the right leg, as he has done so often in the past. Seldom, if ever, I've seen him kick a point with his left leg, but put the ball straight and drew over the bar.
Mike Ishii has been fouled, and Mike, he takes a quick free and takes it inside, rolling near the corner flag, and is rolled into the hands of the bomber. It's Austin Stacks to Bale. Now Stacks again, and Ger Powell working his way and pulled to the ground. Surely there, Mike. Kevin McCabe, this will be a close-in free Weeshy to Kerry.
Yeah, and Kerry's experience now is telling. You can see that, because they're much more experienced now than the Tyrone. They're holding the ball and they're literally drawing the fouls. And you can only do that if you're highly experienced.
And it's Mikey Sheehy to take this free. This is looking good. That's sailed over the crossbar of Aidan Skelton. That's a 2-point lead now for Kerry. Little bit of breathing space. And Owen Liston is still inside around full forward and causing a lot of problems for this Tyrone defence. Jacko breaks it down again. Posey broke it down to Ger Powell. Going for a record 8 All-Ireland medals inside to Willie Maher. Willie Maher is help outside from Mikey Sheehy. Mikey Sheehy with the left leg, and Mikey Sheehy single-handedly, Weeshy, is bringing another All-Ireland to Kerry.
He is indeed. He's absolutely in super form. Once again, it was Willie Maher, the Milltown Castlemaine man, who got that ball. He could have shot himself, but he's so unselfish. He turned around and he just passed the ball out to Mikey Sheehy. And Mikey Sheehy, the silken golden skills of the Austin Stacks man, floated the ball all over the bar. Lovely pipe by Sheehy. What a player. What a man.
Pat Spillane back to Ger Lynch. Inside for Ger Powell. He'll steady himself here now. He'll put it on the left. This is sailing towards the post. That's another one from the boot of Ger Powell.
Ger Powell, the son of the legendary Limerick curler Jackie Powell. He trained the Stacks when they won the county championship in 1973. The Ger Powell father. The father training the son. But that was Ger here in Croke Park with the left leg. He skipped and danced and weaved his way through the Tyrone defence, and he just popped the ball over the bar. 2-10 to 1-9. Kerry are well on their way to their 3 in a row, a historic 3 in a row for Kerry.
It's Tommy Doyle lands inside again for the bomber, and Ogie nips in once again, and Ogie spit the post for this one. Ogie Morton chipping his way out, skipping his way out. Lovely point from Ogie.
Ogie Morton, like the rest of them, going for his 8 All-Ireland medal, like some more of his friends here today. What a wonderful, wonderful career this man is having, and he just ran onto that breaking ball and just chipped the ball over the bar. Lovely point by Ogie Morton.
Ger Power, this time he kicks it with the right, high again for the bomber breaking it down for Timmy Dowd is in amongst here. He'll pull on this, and Timmy Dowd over the bar. That's a magnificent point again.
Kerry can score with anything, their hands or their legs or their fists or their heads. If it came down to that, saying Timmy Dowd was at the end of that and all started out the field with Mickey Sheehy, the belly dancer. He saw dummies all over the place. The ball finished up inside the broke to Timmy Dowd. Timmy bobbled in front of him, and instead of picking it up, he blasted the ball over the bar. Lovely point by Dowdy.
Kerry had scored an unanswered 1 goal and 7 points in a 15 minute spell. That turned a 4-point deficit into a 6-point lead and Tyrone's race was run. The Kingdom were now 6 points in front, 212 to 19. After 62 minutes, sub Stephen Rice put over for Tyrone, their first score in 19 minutes. Timmy Dowd replied with a point, then the bomber Liston sent over the bar. Ogie Moran had the final say in the closing minute. The full-time whistle arrived with Kerry victorious, 215 to 110. Ger Power says the players could have kept going.
I'll always remember even at the end of that match, we could have kept going for another 15 or 20 minutes. And even though the players were coming to their end, I suppose at that stage I was the eldest of the whole lot, like, you know. But I think when that game finished, Kerry could have kept playing for another 15 or 20 minutes at the way they were going, like, you know. The one thing surprising about that whole setup in 1986 is that there was only about 19 players in the panel. Like, I think that was, if you look, we won in 86. When's the next year we won after that? About 10 and 11 years, and you could see it happening because, you know, there was no young people inside in the panel. There was a panel about 19 or 20, where usually there was 25. You were already under 21s and the whole lot, everything. It just didn't happen.
There was one final battle to be won, the race for the match ball. The contestants were Paddy O'Shea and Jack O'Shea.
It's just funny in one way, I suppose, you know, I just seen the ball came out over my head and I said, geez, I better get a hold of this. I'm a belly kid if I get a hold of it. And the next thing, I was running to get the ball, like, you know, nice and leisurely as I might, to go and pick it up. Next thing, this fella flew past me. I never saw Paddy running as fast. It was the biggest sprint he did in the match that day, I think, getting out past me to get the ball. And I think that's probably up in the pub now behind Dingle at the moment. I never checked that one out.
The honour of lifting the Sam Maguire fell to Tommy Doyle. The honest goal man says he was representing a county when he got his hands on the trophy.
Brilliant. But then you go, when you lift the cup, you see you're lifting it on behalf of everybody that you look down on, and the pitch, the players who helped you get there, obviously the management, county boards, and the people on the pitch. But you must understand again that you're realistically up there representing your county with a Kerry jersey on you, and that's what it's all about. You know, personally, great, fantastic. You lifted it. Brilliant, and it's an honour you'll always have. But at the end of the day, it goes a bit deeper than that. You must think of, when you lift up, you must think of the people that are on the pitch, and the pouring rain or the sunshine cheering you on, and the lads who went there and got it with you.
Pat Spillane considers 86 to be among his top memories.
86 was one of those days that, you know, like, there's days you go out and you're as fit as you ever were, and there's days you go, like Murphy's Law, everything you do will go wrong, and there's other days you go out and it certainly is a look factor. There's other days you go and everything that you turn to touch turns to gold. And in 86 I would have had my best All-Ireland final ever against Tyrone. So that 3 in a row team, 85 and 86, I mean, we were like a bit like the Kerry team now. We were there were bits and pieces of youngsters and a bit of old fellas, and we were lucky that the standard of football, I don't think, was that. No, we weren't exactly exceptionally high, because we weren't. I mean, look, our Kerry team of 78, 79, 80, 81, I mean, were miles better than 84, 85, 86. There wasn't any great teams around, you know. There wasn't any great teams around.
Mikey Sheehy believes that 3-in-a-row success owes its foundations to the Offaly defeat of 82.
I actually would say that the bulk of the squad stayed on, right, and came back and won 84, 85 and 86. I think that was a better achievement than actually winning the 5 in a row, because I would definitely say that had we won the 5 in a row, there would be certain players would certainly not have stayed on until 86, 87. I have no doubt about that.
Kerry legend, the late Tim Roundy Landers, felt the football played in the 1980s was superior to when he lined out.
It's more entertaining, Norman. Before, you jumped up and caught a ball, you came down, you turned and dodged your man, and you kicked around to another fella. Aye. Maybe 100 yards away.
That's right.
But now, they're rushing in and out and passing one of them.
It is very entertaining, but
it is.
You've been listening to The Greatest Day, a 36-part series documenting the story of Kerry's All-Ireland Senior Football Championship victories. The Greatest Day was presented by John Drummy, written by Joe O'Mahony, and researched and produced by the Radio Kerry Sports team. This programme was made with the support of the Broadcasting Authority of Ireland Sound and Vision Scheme.
The Greatest Day, the story of Kerry's 36 All-Ireland football titles. Brought to you in association with Kerry Group, proud sponsors of all inter-county GAA teams.